Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Looks like winter is coming. Maybe we'll get 1 week of below normal temperatures. John on the other side of the glass is going, Bill, I'm not so sure. But one thing is for sure, the weather is definitely going to be changing here in the next 24 hours. I can feel it in my bones. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Tuesday, January 7th, 2025, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio at the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. All excited about beginning our 15th year. We celebrated that anniversary last week on Thursday. The Buckmaster Show, it can be heard live via my website, buckmastershow.com. It's also the place where we have all of our programs archived. All the podcasts are there. The complete archive at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's utilize the live line now and go up to Arizona State University and our conversation. We try to do this monthly with Dennis Hoffman, who is the director of the L. William Seidman Research Center at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University, where he is director of ASU's Office of the University Economist. Among his many duties and his sponsored project efforts include the construction and maintenance of the revenue forecasting model that is used by the Executive Budget Office for the state of Arizona, and that he has been involved with that each year since 1982. Happy New Year, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, everybody is, I've talked to several top lawmakers, and they're all pointing to the numbers that look fairly positive as we begin legislative session.
I'm afraid we have a bad connection. You are cutting out. I could not hear the question.
Oh, how is that? Is that any better?
Well, it's been, as I've been waiting to chat with you, it's been coming and going, so we'll try it as it is right now.
Okay. I was just saying we had talked with several lawmakers who are waiting for the latest numbers from the Joint Legislative Budget Office as we begin the legislative session, which will begin next week. What can they expect, Professor Hoffman?
Well, it should be good news, Bill. It should be really quite good news. The legislature tends to rely on the Fiscal Advisory Committee of the JLBC, but they'll also have the governor's numbers coming out in the next week or so as well. We've had a very good fall in terms of revenue flows, and things are set up, I think, really very well for the spring.
And what kind of that was a very challenging legislative session last year. A lot of the programs did not get funded when all is said and done. Are we looking at a budget surplus, do you believe, Professor Hoffman?
Well, that depends upon what their planned spending is, of course. And I am I'm centrally focused on revenues, but it is my understanding that revenues are well ahead of their the conservative projections that they made last spring. It always seemed to me that they overcooked on the conservative side last spring, but we'll have to see how this pans out. But right now we're running ahead of schedule. We've had a really good fall. One data point that I like to focus on is our withholding collections. That's taken directly from our paychecks and in the form of tax withholding is running nearly 8% up year on year for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. So that means that there's more money going into pockets. You know, people's plans for paying taxes are on the increase, and that will put money in the general fund coffers for those policymakers make some needed spending.
We had the interim director of the Tucson Association of Realtors with us, and he says this is going to be a very challenging year for the home marketing and residential real estate. Despite the fact that the interest rates are coming down, the 7% threshold remains a tough one to crack, Professor Hoffman.
The policy rate, Bill, is coming down. Absolutely. The federal funds rate has been on the way down since September. But at the same time that policy rate's coming down, it's a very short-term rate. The long-term rates have gone up, nearly a percentage point over the last 4 to 5 months. And so that is what the folks in the real estate industry are wringing their hands over, and I don't blame them. Too many homeowners today are locked into a 4% mortgage, and they're not going to move. Well, let's put it this way. If they choose to move, they confront a 3 percentage point increase in their mortgage rate on top of, 20 to 30% increase in the cost of homes since they bought back in the late 20-teens. So, that creates a lock-in effect, and I don't blame the folks in the real estate industry to be projecting that this is going to be a really tough year. Ever since some of the plans for the new administration started pouring forward in, let's say, October, and it became more clear that Mr. Trump's administration was going to be in charge in the next 4 years, there's been a lot more concern about inflation. A lot more concerns about wage inflations with labor markets and deportation, with tariffs, and all of that it puts upward pressure on interest rates. So that would be my worry for Arizona as well. I think everything is really lined up pretty well, but our real estate markets will be challenged as long as the cost of credit remains high.
How about getting goods to Arizona? The construction industry has had their ups and downs since the pandemic. How is that looking, Dennis Hoffman?
Well, it's, we're picking fights with Mexico, where we get a lot of rebar and home materials, foundational materials, cement, et cetera, from our ties and our trade with Mexico. And, of course, we get lumber from our neighbor to the north in Canada. And unless we annex those two countries, which I guess is in the discussion, things are going to be tough if we impose tariffs on them. It just is more headwinds for a beleaguered industry, and that's our real estate industry. It's really tough times right now.
It is. It's headwinds that we heard in the president's news conference today. Now it looked like that perhaps there were some reports floating around the last couple of days that President-elect Trump had modified his position on tariffs, but then he comes out before the media today and says, no, it's full speed ahead. And you know what that does. That creates all this uncertainty.
It does. And that's where we are. We're going to be in the world of uncertainty for, I think, the next Well, until we get clarity, let's just put it that way. Until we get clarity, we will be in the world of uncertainty. So, we argue a lot about policy, and some people prefer the policies of the Trump administration. And it's very clear that their preferences are for less regulation, lower taxes, et cetera. But many of those folks are also concerned about inflation, and they're concerned about debt and deficits. And I think that's where the challenges lie. It's going to be very difficult to have all of those things together. All of the festivities that are going to accompany, presumably, the Trump economic policies without the worries of inflation and deficit reduction.
Yep. Agree with you. Dr. Dennis Hoffman, thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you next month. Thank you, Dennis.
We'll see you in February, chat in February, and best everyone in the old Pueblo, Bill.
Thank you very much. Professor Dennis Hoffman, who is with the Seedman Research Center. He's the director there and economics professor at the William Seedman Research Institute at Arizona State University. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman, we're going to stay on our topic with the economy, and I think folks can kind of guess what Shelley just gave me is in terms of a thumb. It is not up, let's put it that way. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Shelley Fishman with us the new year, and we're going to play the, John, can you pop in the disclaimer just to make it official that Shelley Fishman's views are,
as
well,
a financial advisor.
Here we go. Ready? Go ahead, John.
Shelley Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelley via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
Now that's official. And Happy New Year to you, Shelley.
Happy New Year.
Great to see you. We were off on a couple of, well, we were off because it was Christmas Eve, then we were off because it was New Year's Eve, so I have not seen you in several weeks. And just as you had indicated, that when there is a Republican who has been elected, president-elect, the markets do react.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting because right after
the election, the market started continuing, or I should say, they continued their upward march. And we were on track to really break and close the year at all-time highs on most of the major indices. But then the bubble burst, as Dr. Hoffman was talking about, that all of a sudden what people were saying, oh, he's just saying these things, Trump, that is, just saying these things as a candidate, but he doesn't really mean them. Yeah. And then he kept saying them, and his people kept saying them. And all of a sudden, markets became very concerned. And so we backed off the increases since the election. Where we were as of close of business yesterday, the S&P was flat since the election. The Dow is down about 2.3%, and the NASDAQ up about 3.1%. Historically, when Republicans win the presidency between Election Day and the
inauguration
of inauguration, the stock markets, as measured by the S&P 500, lose about 1%. When Democrats win, they gain about 5%. And the average is about up 2%. Right now, on the S&P, we're flat. So what's happened is that the markets are reacting in a kind of normal way to the short-term nature of the uncertainty created by some of these things like tariffs.
The markets don't like uncertainty. They don't like the headwinds that that Professor Hoffman was referring to, and certainly now at President-elect Trump's news conference about weaponizing tariffs.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing that most economists believe will lead to higher prices, renewed inflation, and the kinds of economic results that are short-term oriented. So would further tax cuts for businesses produce some higher profits? They might. I would remind you that the stock market during the Trump administration until the last year when we had, of course, the pandemic, was behaving rather nicely. Mm-hmm. It wasn't record-breaking. It wasn't the best ever or anything like that, but it behaved well. And the stock market during the Trump administration was right where it normally would be during a Republican administration. The stock market during the Biden administration had a tremendous opportunity to recover, of course, from where the pandemic left things off. And so the markets in the past 2 years of the Biden administration have done very, very well. The Dow for this year is back off of its highs, not this year, I mean 24, is back off of its highs. The Dow winds up about 13.25%. If you add dividends back into that, it's about 15%. That's not bad for a year. It's above average. The S&P is up 23.3% for 2024, and the NASDAQ's up 30%. So the markets have been, in general, doing well.
But a
for
lot
the last
of the,
8 years.
A lot of the downside happened after the election.
Absolutely. Because people started thinking, this guy means it. And that is creating uncertainty. The stock markets, I believe, will do okay during the first couple of years of the Trump administration, simply because there will be offsetting things happening. So that, yes, inflation will increase if we do all of these tariffs. However, if we renew the tax cuts from 21st Trump administration, 2017 was when they kicked in. Even if we don't reduce the corporate rate any further than we did back then, just renewing that will have a positive effect on markets. Inflation is not a concern necessarily in the short term for markets.
It is
a concern for people.
Yeah. Well, we were talking with Professor about the housing market.
Well, and you and I have talked about
people aren't going to move if they're going to have a change in the percentage on the mortgage rate at three percentage difference.
High interest rates bleed through the economy in ways that people either don't understand or don't necessarily see. Mm-hmm. If you're in the construction business, or if you're in the market for a new home or a used, you know, an existing home, then you have several things that are getting in your way. Mm-hmm. One is the higher mortgage rates, but mortgage rates have been much higher than this historically. You know, again, Trump today in his news conference said that interest rates during the Biden administration were at all-time highs, never in the, you know, in our history.
Which, of course,
been that
is
high,
ridiculous.
Which is nonsense.
Under the Carter administration.
And the Nixon administration. I mean, yes. However, they were higher than most people experienced in their lifetimes. 9% was a high rate. It was lower than the rate of inflation we were seeing in the rest of the world, and it came down more quickly. However, our central bank, the Fed, has been very cautious about cutting interest rates. They raised them rather aggressively, and now they're being very cautious about reducing them. And you and I have talked about how important I think it is to make sure that we get the longer-term interest rates down so that people can, again, feel that they can afford to buy a home. I'm not concerned that much about people who have a 4% mortgage, as Dr. Hoffman was saying, that the fact that they don't think they can move. Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in a house, you're doing fine, you know, great. But if you're looking for a home and there are none available because people don't want to sell, or the only ones that are available are at a rate that is beyond your budget, then that's a problem. And so I think it's really important that the Fed take this into consideration. The problem, of course, is the Fed is scared to death, is that if they decrease interest rates too aggressively, it will overstimulate the economy, and the economy has been doing gangbusters. Mm-hmm. I know there are people that say, but what about inflation? But what about this? What about that? When you take a look at most of the indicators, the vast majority of the indicators, the economy during the Biden administration has been just fine. GDP growth is high, unemployment is very low, consumer spending is very high. Yes, there are some problems, but you know what? And I'm going to say this, Bill, and I'm going to get emails about it. I'm done with the whining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the facts are what they are. Mm-hmm. We've done better than the rest of the world. This inflation was the fault mostly of the pandemic. It is nobody's fault. Yeah, there was excess spending, but that didn't really contribute a lot to inflation. And what we have to do now is continue to work to get it under control and continue to make sure that wages increase and stay ahead of the inflation rate. So, you know, yes, but what about inflation? But what about general growth? What about the fact that we have more people who got jobs during the past 4 years than in any other administration in our history? And we're getting manufacturing back at a rate that we have, you know, almost never seen, and the full effects of the, you know, bipartisan legislation that the Biden administration was able to get through Congress and then sign haven't even kicked in yet. But the administration that is outgoing is leaving the new administration, the Trump administration, in very good economic shape. And I expect, you know, that Trump will take credit for that. That's just fine. I don't really care what he says. I care what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I care about how markets and investors and people who have saved all their lives to, you know, get a nest egg and retire might be affected adversely by stupid things like renaming the Gulf of Mexico.
We're closing out pretty much 2024 with some key economic indicators actually this week.
Yeah, we're going to see several things coming this week. We'll get a look at inflation. We'll get a look at consumer confidence in the economy. And then on Friday, we'll get the December unemployment and employment numbers. Those numbers for the past couple of months have been modifying somewhat. We'll see if they continue to modify, or now that they're not measuring the events in October and November, which were catastrophic for several of the the employment markets around the country from a weather perspective. December was a recovery month. If we see a good pickup, then that'll be good news for the people affected there. But the flip side of that, of course, is that the Fed will take a look at that and say, uh-oh, got to worry about the economy becoming too overheated.
Does the Fed meet, they'll meet in this month or no? Their quarterly meeting.
I should know the answer to that.
But they meet
don't.
Quarterly usually.
No, they meet about six times a year.
Oh, six times.
So I believe they're meeting this month, but I couldn't swear to it and I didn't check it before.
It may
we came
be
in.
After the inauguration.
Yeah, in any case, it would be the last week. Yeah.
All right, Shelley. So here we are as we launch into 2025.
Right. 2025 is going to be, I think, a fairly okay year economically. Mm-hmm. I think the stock market will probably have an average or just below average year. I think the economy will grow somewhere in the 2% range. Not phenomenal, but not bad either. And unless we see some crazy stuff going on that makes its way into policy, then I think we'll be fine. As I say, I don't listen to what the man says or what his administration says. I watch what it does, because that's what the markets do. They vote with their dollars.
They do. Shelley, thanks so much. Happy New Year again to you, and we'll talk with you next week.
And to you, sir.
All right, take a break. Buckmaster on a Tuesday.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. And the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios, family-owned and operated since 1970. Green Things now featuring Zocalo Fountains. How about a fountain for your garden area? They've got a great selection of fountains. Check it out, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and their sister business there on site is Zocalo Village, and their website is ZocaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we are going to utilize the live line for Dr. Jeff Silvertooth, our Buckmaster contributor on agriculture and a professor and extension specialist in agronomy and soil science at the University of Arizona Department of Environmental Science. He has served on the University of Arizona faculty and worked statewide since 1987. Professor Silvertooth has been recognized as a fellow for both the American Society of Agronomy and Soil Science Society of America. Of course, the best thing is to have Jeff Silvertooth seated across from me in studio, but the second best thing is to have him on our live line. And Jeff's been a bit under the weather, but is making a wonderful recovery, we hope. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Very good, Bill. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Doing well. You know, we've talked about recycling. I know you don't particularly like the term, and a lot of people find it kind of distasteful, the old toilet to tap. Well, looks like the federal government has is going to pony up some money. So the city of Tucson is planning to build on the northwest side a facility for turning making recyclable water available for drinking. Some of your thoughts, Jeff Silvertooth.
Well, I think it's entirely appropriate that we do that. And in fact, you know, I just don't want to harp on this too much, but it is an unfortunate use of the term, the toilet to tap, because in reality, this technology has been around for 20 years. And in reality, too, a lot of rivers and streams from which municipalities, cities around the country utilize water to draw their water supplies is really being cleaned up through the same kind of technologies, and in many respects, worse water than what you would say they're going to be utilizing in this case for reclamation to bring back to potable water in here in Tucson. So it's a good technology, solid technology. We'll get good, clean water from that. It is expensive to do, but it's within the realm of the current, you know, costs and demands that we have today, particularly out here in the desert with the water shortages that we have. So I think it's good, Bill, overall.
And apparently this is part of a deal that the city council will vote on tonight on whether to accept the agreement negotiated by Tucson Water and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, under which the Bureau would pay the city up to almost $87 million to build the treatment plant on the northwest side in the next 5 or 6 years. In return, the city, Jeff Silvertooth, would agree to leave about 56,000 acre feet of its Central Arizona Project water supply in Lake Mead over a decade.
Right. Good point. Now, see, there's the benefit right there. One of the benefits that we derive from that. Actually, we're going to be getting excellent quality water. And the other thing is we're actually able to conserve that surface water in the Colorado River system, which is so important for us to do. So it's a win-win both ways. And you're getting money out of it's not something that a cost, a burden that the city of Tucson and this community has to bear entirely themselves. So there's going to be good support for that. So it's a good approach. I fully endorse that.
The third month out of the last four that we have had record average high temperatures here in Tucson. The things have changed, and a lot of people are saying that the climate change is happening even faster than anyone imagined. I wonder how that's going to change Arizona agriculture, Jeff Silvertooth.
Well, what it is it's already has. You know, we look at the, say, take the Colorado River. We just mentioned that. That's a good measure of what we're seeing as these kinds of results that you're referring to. You know, in the past 2 decades, really since the beginning of this century, the average annual flow in the Colorado River has been about 12.4, 12.5 million acre feet. Now, that is in contrast to an average annual flow over most of the 20th century, latter half of the 20th century, of about 14 and a half million acre feet. So that's a 2 million acre foot reduction in water flow. And that's a result of climate. You know, the increasing temperatures, which increases the evaporation out of the watershed and reduces the precipitation in the first place. And what we're seeing right now, what you're describing, is really a continuation of that. I kind of find it interesting. I read the papers like you do over in California, see what they're saying about the water situation there because of the, you know, the demand and the capacities that they have in California to draw that water. And, you know, it's interesting. They've had a wet year. One wet year, people say, well, the drought is over. It's not over. It's just a little blip, you know. So what we're seeing is a continuation of this. And what we've been experiencing this year and what you're describing is a good example of what we're seeing the result of over the past 20-some years. And that is the fact that our precipitation has decreased. It's increasingly dry. It's increasingly warm. And we're seeing the results of that through diminished water supplies in our surface waters and an increasing, what would you say, demand or turn to our groundwater supplies.
And it isn't just Arizona, Jeff Silvertooth. As the new year starts, AgWeb, an agricultural website, is reporting that 70%, Jeff Silvertooth, of the United States is now facing some kind of a drought situation. That means there's a dry planting season for the key crops like corn and soybeans. This is now a nationwide problem.
It is. Well, basically, just having the entire Western United States has been going through this type of a process. So I interact with colleagues in other states throughout the Western United States, and I would say that's west of the Mississippi River, basically. But, you know, even in the South, in states like Oklahoma, Texas, the Southwest, and the Southeast, you know, they've been experiencing these, you know, abnormally dry conditions as well. So, it's a pretty much a broad spectrum type of a pattern that we're seeing here across the North American continent. Friends in Mexico are sharing with me, by the way, Northwest Mexico, just to the south of us, the dire situations that they're facing with regard to diminished water supplies from the same thing, from the lower precipitation, hotter, drier conditions. And there is results of that in terms of our diminished surface water supplies, particularly.
Well, we're facing a continued, not had a drop of rain, and hopefully we'll get a little bit this week, but we haven't had a drop of rain here now in over 2 months, Jeff Silvertooth, and that's going to impact the growers that you interface with throughout Arizona.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's a double-edged sword. A lot of the growers that I work with right now are working in the vegetable, leafy green vegetable industry in southwest Arizona, on the lower Colorado River Valley around Yuma. And these conditions are pretty good for producing good quality crops. They move through in their development as they be kind of unrestricted manner. And they're coming off with some very good yields, very good quality crops overall as a result of that. You know, so it's a double-edged sword. But the big problem is, of course, is the diminished water supplies that we have. But, you know, this makes us all turn to really some serious questions about how do we use the water supplies that we have, and how important is it for us to direct these water supplies to agriculture, which I may just reiterate again, as we've discussed before, but agriculture is responsible for about 70% of the water use that we have in the state of Arizona, and also too on the Colorado River water system. So all these states are using lots of water. The bottom line for us, Bill, is it takes a lot of water to produce our food. And if we say we cut out agriculture to remove that from the equation or reduce it significantly so that we can, you know, stay comfortable in the cities, well, we all suffer one way or the other. So we have to look at this realistically, I think, and come to some decisions in the future, which we're working on in this state and this region right now, on surface water supplies in response to these conditions you're describing.
Well, a lot of folks see that number, that percentage, Jeff Silvertooth, 70% of water is used by agriculture, and you know what's next. And we've kind of talked about this and thought, well, who knows? You could see an initiative perhaps someday that would go before the voters that would severely limit agriculture from using any water.
Well, that's possible. You know, that'd be extremely foolish in my view. You know, it's like, it's not feasible. We all need water every day. Every one of us does, but it takes a lot of water to produce our food. The thing that we have, Bill, the reason that could actually get any kind of traction, what you describe, that kind of a measure or proposal would get any kind of traction, is because we have the luxury. We being citizens in this society that we live in have a luxury of just being able to have a readily available supply of food that's cheap, high quality, and diverse. I mean, we can go down to the store right now and pick up produce, for example, from literally out of the country, all over the country, and out of the United States as well. So we have the luxury of having that kind of a food supply, and we can become detached from this. We don't think about it as much. The average citizen doesn't think about that much at all, much as like we do when we turn on flip the switch and expect electricity to come on, or lights to come on, and the AC. But these things, you know, take an effort, take energy, and they take water, in the case of food, to produce. And so I think it's important for us to get ourselves armed up with the facts. And as I like to say, you know, this is a good example of where the facts may be facts, but perceptions become people's reality. And I just hope that we don't have politicians and people that want to play on those perceptions, because it's basically taking advantage of this luxury that we have and the ignorance that we can bathe ourselves in of not being able to not having to face up to the reality of how much water does it take, which we can discuss that a little bit too, if you'd like.
I'd like to.
How much water does it take to produce the food for each of us as individuals every day?
Takes a lot. Let's go over that a little. We've talked about it in the past, but let's kind of bring that up again after we take the break. Jeff Silvertooth with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Stay with us, Jeff. We'll be right back to you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them,
as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great getaway, only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. And the good news is it's only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area over to that area of southwestern New Mexico. Jeff Silvertooth, our regular contributor on agriculture and water, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. University of Arizona agronomist, Dr. Jeff Silvertooth, with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jeff's been a bit under the weather, like so many people I know. It just seems to be a lot going around, but we do appreciate him being a real trooper and joining us on the live line. Jeff, one of the top issues of 2024 was the overuse of Arizona's groundwater resources. It's a hot topic and will be a hot topic in 2025. The governor decided to go ahead and act on an area concerning the Wilcox water area. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a good example, too. We were talking about surface water limitations earlier through the, from the drought and, you know, reductions in flow in some of these river systems like the Colorado River. So that's forced people to turn to groundwater. Now, there are other parts of the state and other parts of our region. Cochise County is a great example of that, where they don't have surface water. So they depend entirely on the groundwater supplies and have been for, you know, quite some time. So as a result of that, there's been diminishing water supplies in the groundwater, and it's been creating problems out there in Cochise County with subsidence of land, subsidence of cracks and fissures, and people and homeowners and other farmers have been losing water in their wells, have to re-drill wells if they can afford to do so. Sometimes they hit water, sometimes they don't. And so it's created a lot of conflict, a lot of controversy. And in addition to that, it's been compounded by the fact that there's been a lot of expansion coming in, like there's venture capital and a lot of new companies have been coming in to that region looking at agricultural production capacities because of our laws in this state. Basically, say if you own the land, you can drill a hole and pump water to your heart's content without any real restrictions. There's no regulations on it. So as a result of that, if you and I were neighbors in Cochise County, you might be putting in a new well that's a deep well and pulling out more water, and all of a sudden I lose my water in my well. And you can imagine it creates that kind of conflict. As a result of all of that, then the governor and the state of Arizona, the Department of Water Resources, have been asked to come in and help resolve that issue. That's been going on for past several years. The Wilcox Basin, which is around the Sulphur Springs Valley, and there's another basin down around Douglas, they had options available to them in 2022 on the ballot for a voter initiative to form what they call an AMA, an active management area, which is a designation part of the 1980 Groundwater Management Act that puts in some definite guidelines, restrictions, regulations on how we use groundwater. The Douglas AMA voted it in. The Sulphur Springs Valley area, the Wilcox AMA, or Wilcox area, they say, the Wilcox Basin, did not. They voted it down, but the problems persisted. Continuing on then, since 2022, the ADWR and the governor's office has been repeatedly asked to come in and help resolve these issues. They have. And after several hearings and the governor's on-the-ground investigative efforts with her team directly and also people working with ADWR the past year, The bottom line as a result is the governor made a designation for an active management area in the Sulphur Springs Valley, the Wilcox Basin. It's the first one. I'll go through all this background because this is notable in relation to the fact that it's the very first one that's been AMA, that's been designated in this manner since the 1980 Groundwater Management Act was passed, which provided the provisions and the authority of the governor to do this. So that's going into effect, and it's on board coming up right now. This AMA designation is on as of the 23rd of October, I think, of 2024. So it's moving forward right now.
Jeff, before we wrap it up with you, and we've got about 4 minutes, we kind of teased before the break about the amount of water that each of us use. And I think it's worth repeating. It's very surprising.
Yeah, it is. It is surprising. And the fact of the matter is on that deal that, you know, each of us as individuals would consume wet water, and it's water out of the tap every day. About, you know, the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, says it's about 180 to 100 gallons a day per person across the country. ADWR says it's the Department of Water Resources here in Arizona said for Arizona, it's about 146 gallons of water per person a day, what we call wet water. That water we pour out of the tap, we drink, we bathe it, wash our dishes, et cetera. Now, that's just the water that we use directly. There's water that's required to produce every morsel of food that we eat. And the fact that we deal with there is that it takes between 800 and 1,000 gallons of water to produce the food that we eat every day, each individual. That's a lot of water, a lot more than the average person would think, would consider normally. But that's the reality. Now, the reason that's such a wide span, Bill, is 800 to 1,000 gallons per day. That's primarily based on the nature of a person's diet. And one of the biggest factors, not only just the amount of food that we eat, but also the amount of meat that we eat. Meat takes more water to produce than, say, non-meat products, vegetable products. So the lower meat consumption you have, the lower end of that scale. But it's at least 800 to 1,000 gallons a day. And it's at least, and for a lot of cases, for a lot of folks, you can go to these water footprint calculators, and a lot of us are consuming up to, the food we consume every day is up to about 2,000 gallons a day to do that. That's over 8 million acre feet of water required a year to produce the food that we eat in Arizona. Okay, so
yeah.
You could take that back and say, well, Arizona uses about 7 million acre feet of wet water every year, but it's taken about 8 million acre feet of water for someone to use that water to produce the food that we eat every day.
Think about the folks who spend 20 minutes in the shower. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, those things add up, you know, volumes add up. But it's small in comparison to the amount of food, what amount of water required for the food that we eat every day. I think that food production is the important thing for us to think about. Goes back to your previous point about what if someone comes out and said, or they put forward a proposal to say, we can't use water, we're going to restrict water for agriculture because agriculture uses too much water. Well, there's going to be a drop in our food production, not only here in Arizona, but across the West. And there's a lot of food produced across the West under irrigated conditions in this country. So it's important for us all to think about, well, how much water do we actually require every day to support us?
All right, Jeff Silvertooth, always a pleasure. Jeff, I hope you're feeling better. You sound a lot better than when I talked to you a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I'm feeling better, Bill. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Hopefully we'll have you back in studio next month. Jeff Silvertooth, University of Arizona agronomist, with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, the Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. About ready to wrap it up here with the Buckmaster Tuesday edition. Waiting in the wings, Kathleen Wynn with Wynn Tucson. That program will come up right after we hear from CBS Network News. Till then, it's Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.